Hi, I'm Connie, and this is From Chaos to Peace with Connie, where I explore, sometimes solo and often with a guest, how a few minutes a day can keep the chaos away. And with chaos, I'm talking about the physical, digital, social, financial, mental, emotional, and spiritual clutter that can accumulate in our life. Welcome, my friend, and thank you for allowing me back into your ears. How are you doing? This is episode number 91 of the From Chaos to Peace podcast, where you learn how a few minutes a day keeps the chaos away. And today, we're talking about emotional clutter. But before we do, can I ask you to please subscribe to my podcast so you never miss an episode, and then share it with your family or a friend? Because if you find value in what you're hearing here, they will too. And if you love my podcast, you can help me really by going to Apple Podcasts and writing a review. This will help that more people find this podcast and can move from chaos to peace in their life and in their business. For those of you who have no idea how to write a review, I have step-by-step instructions in the show notes and on my website. Back to emotional clutter. Today I have Sheila Van Zyl as a guest, and she wrote a book called My Waterfall of Awakening: How Loss Can Bring You Home to the Life You Want. It is kind of an autobiography about the relationship she had with her love withholding mother, and then she explores forgiveness, trust, faith, self-love, grief, hope, and so much more. The book is at the same time a guided journey filled with lessons, meditations, glorious stories of the French countryside, and so much more. She says you can keep it on your bedside table and do the exercises every day for a few minutes. On her website, it says her story is quite possibly your story. And it's really funny. Might be a coincidence, but I'm not sure whether coincidences exist. But today, when I record this intro, is actually the day that would be my mother's 78th birthday. But she passed 10 years ago, and we too had a very challenging relationship, already from my earliest memories. This episode is as much for myself as it is for you. It is also about how to make peace with people we have or had challenging relationships with, how to let go of the mental and emotional clutter and start living the life you want. Okay, without further ado, let's jump into this talk with Sheila Van Zyl. Just a little heads up, in the second part, her audio has some static noise with it. I really apologize, I couldn't fix that. But I feel the information and our conversation is very important, so I still wanted to publish it. Welcome, Sheila. Thanks for making the time to be on my podcast. How are you today?
I am great, Connie, and thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
Yeah, of course, I'm always excited to have interesting guests. So, but before we dive into our topic, tell my listeners a little bit, who is Sheila? If she's not like working or whatever, just as a person, and where in the world are you?
Well, Sheila is a 60-something-year-old woman who lives in Michigan, and I have been a businesswoman most all of my life, and I'm in the process of exiting my business life in order to embrace a life that sort of incorporates more what my wants are versus all of those shoulds of all of those decades.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I know you wrote a book. Is it out yet, or is it coming out just?
It was originally scheduled to come out in August, and the paper shortages and the printer shortages that are impacting the many industries, and the building industry with the lack of wood, is apparently also causing delays in publishing. So we think it's going to be early September, but don't have a firm date at this point.
Yeah, and it's called My Waterfall of Awakening. So what is that book about and what motivated you to write it?
So the second level title of that is How Loss Can Bring You Home to the Life You Want. And it was a loss in my life that actually sort of spurred this whole process of awakening for me. And in my case, it was my mother's death. And that was about 4 years ago. And through that process, my mother was a pretty withholding woman, disapproving. I'm finding as I have this conversation with many women, you know, in that 60 something age group, that we have an awful lot in common with our mothers that we don't talk about, that that really have held us back in many ways. And so with her death, I really was given a bunch of time back because I was her caregiver, and I determined I was going to use it in a way that was more about me, and that was not going to just kind of fill up with the random things that I was filling my life with at, you know, at the time. And so that process, part of that process involved, you know, consulting with different people and doing some spiritual work and all that kind of thing. And one of the people that I was engaging with said, Sheila, I think there's a book. I'm like, there's not a book. He's like, no, I think there's a book. From what I can see, there's a book. Nah. Well, funny thing, there was a book.
Who would have thought a book in you, inside of you?
Yeah. And so there was a couple of years that it took before that book really started to take form. For what it really was intended to do and what it was intended to be. And when it finally did come forth, it ended up being a memoir of my journey as sort of a stake in the ground for folks. But then it became really clear that the opportunity that I had taken to be reflective and journal and embrace different spiritual awakening opportunities, and that there was an opportunity to offer a guided journal that offered some lessons, offered some reflections, offered some opportunity for other women to participate in the process that I had participated in. So there's 38 lessons in the book that are geared to that.
So kind of lessons how to grieve, or more lessons how to getting out of the caretaking mode, which you had, out to taking care of yourself, let's say.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes, all of that. I mean, it's and some of it is learning about self-love. I mean, I had been gifted generations of self-loathing through my mother, and you know, so how to turn that into self-love and turn that into a loving relationship, and things about trust, about grief, about finding your path. About assessing your friendships, and about forgiving your mother. I mean, so there's so many things that are in there, that and not every lesson applies to every woman, but you know, I'm hopeful that there will be a subset that resonate, and that people will be able to embrace this opportunity to step into a life of really doing what we want.
Yeah. I can relate, and I'm sure a lot of women our age can relate, because I had a kind of a stressful relationship with my mother as well. It sounds a little bit similar. My mother was more detached and critical and everything. And when I was younger, I was very upset with her about it. And she is no more here. She died 10 years ago. And the older I get, the more I'm starting to realize that she was trapped, and that probably came from her mother, which I met my grandmother. So I'm kind of can understand it came from her mother. And then my grandmother probably had it from her mother. So, and then what I'm also sometimes thinking is, like, with all the things happening now and talk about patriarchy and everything, that I'm thinking it's all these women were victims of society. Yes. And this is why we're dealing with all of this. So I find this is a very interesting and important book that you wrote.
Thank you.
What is the reaction that you get when you talk about your book with other women? Like, do most of them, can they relate, or do some say, oh, this is we shouldn't talk about this. This, like, I could imagine some people say, oh, we shouldn't talk bad about our mothers or something. No.
Well, and in many ways, you're absolutely right. It is, it's been sort of a taboo topic. And I think the thing that surprised me the most is how often someone says, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one that felt that way. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Oh my gosh. I mean, there's, and it's different degrees of it, but, mm-hmm. but this idea that we're not alone and it's okay to talk about it and that we can heal and put it behind us and forgive our mothers and release that. And, mm-hmm. and then that helps our children. I mean, it goes, we pay it forward and backward when we make that progress. But I think really this idea that just talking about things that have been sort of under the covers has been the biggest reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. I just recently watched a movie about trauma, and I think it was in there where the person said, what we can do now is that it stops with us so that it actually mm-hmm. benefits our children. And then some more spiritual people say that actually when you do this work, it profits or it benefits seven generations back and seven generations forward.
Yes.
I think the natives talk about this too. I'm not 100% familiar with this, but it's definitely something that probably also benefits everybody around you. No, it's because it's a lot of mental and emotional clutter that you can kind of let go, and instead of reacting, you're acting in the future, I would think. So is that what the reader can take away from your book?
I think that's a really great observation, and I've also heard that same thing, you know, about this the 7 to 8 generations before and after that are positively impacted by this. Yeah, I think so. I think that a couple of other things though that you begin to move into after you've gotten in, you know, you've really kind of gotten into this topic, is you begin to understand that you've shaped a lot of your relationships, your friendships, kind of from that old perspective, that relatively toxic perspective. And one of the things that is in the book that I went through was really a strong assessment of who I was spending my time with. And literally I put them in 3 buckets of nurtures my soul, is neutral to my soul, and sucks the life out of me, right? So, mm-hmm. and then really did an assessment of, can that person move into another category, or do they, I use kind of the dartboard analogy, you know, I'm moving them kind of out of the circles in the dartboard, and people are coming in and moving out with all of that. Mm-hmm. And I really deliberately reshaped who I spent my time with. And it changes your heart. It changes your soul when you're around people that are nurturing. And mm-hmm. I hadn't realized I'd become sort of that person that was always the go-to person, the person you want to have a glass of wine with, the person, but I was never really kind of, it wasn't really always a give and take mm-hmm. with that as to how those were, we were really nurturing each other. So that it kind of starts to go, it starts to blossom out once you start this work. And you're absolutely right. Your comment about that it affects the people around you. You can change the energy. You know, you can change the energy of your relationships and of your own personal space and of all those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I saw, I think it was on your website that you talked about weeding friendships. And me as a gardener, I thought weeding, that was kind of nice. I call it social clutter when we feel like obligated to do something against our own, let's say better judgment or against our will almost sometimes. No, but that's also a little bit how we're conditioned. I for sure am conditioned that way. And I don't want to blame my mother for this. I think it's the society, but it often came in words from my mother. But then she was also like, you go and help and you can't say no. And it's rude to say what you think, or it's rude to not. But then I think that's also where the self-loathing stems from, or what is your perception. But I feel like when we're going against what we want, or when we're with such an energy vampire instead of somebody that nurtures our soul, we turn in that moment against ourselves, and then later we turn against ourselves with self-loathing on top of it. No, that's kind of a little bit how I see it. I don't know whether you see it the same way.
Yeah, I think that that's what it develops to. And in my case, you know, I knew really early on that my mother didn't approve of me. And so there were just little things every day that, you know, you could do 99 things right, and it was that one thing you did wrong, and that's what got focused on. So very early on, I felt like I wasn't worthy, I wasn't good enough, I wasn't any of those things. And then in order to overcome that, I sort of adopted this, I have to be perfect at everything because that's the only way that you can be approved of, right? Well, that didn't work either. So if being flawed is not acceptable, and being perfect isn't acceptable, there isn't a piece of me that's acceptable. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we carry that in, and it's a perspective that we do have to be very deliberate. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you hope people take away from it when they do go through the book? Let's say it different. Would you want to let the people know what they can expect when they go through your book? Like, what is the journey from self-loathing to self-love? It seems like a big journey, you know?
I would say that I've heard a lot of feedback that there's this general sense of underlying unhappiness or dissatisfaction that women our age are kind of walking around with. And the book really tries to help you identify what's causing that. What is it in your life that is causing you dissatisfaction? What's standing in the way? What are the factors that are causing that dissatisfaction? And what's easy to change in that? What's hard to change in that? And then visualize where it is you want to be. Mm-hmm. And then kind of outline the path for how you might get there. That's kind of where the book takes you. It's not... Mm-hmm. It's not a deliberate, everyone's going to have their own journey. So it requires your own visualization of, I want to feel like fill in the blank, you know, that kind of thing. And then really kind of mapping the tools that you need and the work you need to do, what you need to release, what you need to embrace, in order to kind of move yourself through the journey. For me, it took 3 years. Mm-hmm. So it's not like just flip a switch and overnight. I mean, a lot of this, I think part of the reason that there's as many lessons as there are is it would make sense to sort of keep this on your bed table for 38 weeks and do a lesson a week and really spend mm-hmm. some time with the process. And they're not meant to be done in a particular order. They're really meant to look through. It's like you talked about weeding. There is a lesson on weeding your garden and what does your garden look like? And is your garden too neat? I mean, are you weeding it too much? Are you not allowing a lot of things that, you know, to do there? Or have the weeds completely taken over and that which you were deliberate about is completely gone, right? So what does your garden look like? And then what do you want it to look like? And how does it, you know, what are the steps, the concrete steps? There's as part of it. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it does. And it sounds very intriguing because I'm like I just said, I am into gardening. I'm also, I studied permaculture design, and in permaculture, you actually work with nature and you're allowing the things to be. You're not doing the regimented gardening that you see sometimes with in gardens, you know? And so I love what you just said, like you're not weeding too much and then you're not letting it overgrown too much. And so I really love the idea of your book and the 38 weeks journey. And because we all look for quick fixes, but there are no quick fixes in the end. The quick fix is keeping us stuck, and we should rather accept that it takes a little bit.
I agree with you. But I also want to say that there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope and a lot of joy that's at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, if I were to say that I could be in the place I'm in today 4 years ago, and that I would feel as good about who I am, what my life is, what's unfolded in that time, what's come into my life, it's in my mind, it's miraculous. And yet it's available. And I think that's if there's a message, it's that it's available to everyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. So where can people find you? Like, if they're now intrigued and they want to make sure they don't miss the release of this book, where can they go?
Well, my website is Sheila Van Zyl, spelled like my name, .com. And that's where you can read a little bio of me, get an outline of the book, and also sign up for the pre-sale list if you'd like to, when the book becomes available, do that. I have a Facebook page, Sheila Van Zyl Author, and I am blogging. So the blog is on the website, and then I also share it on Facebook and LinkedIn. LinkedIn, not always, but when it's appropriate for that. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I will also put the links in the show notes so that people can go to the show notes and just click on it. Do you have any last words of wisdom, or did I not ask anything that you would like to get off your chest before we end?
I want to go back to the one thing that I think is so important of all of this, is that as women, it's important to share our collective experience. It's important to let people know that they're not alone. And it's important that we can celebrate and celebrate together. And so some of this journey you might end up doing with someone else, or with, you know, part of, and that I just can't underscore enough that you're not alone. You're not alone.
It's a beautiful message, and maybe that brings women more together. And there used to be women's circles in the olden days. Maybe we can have that again and support each other in our journey, you know, and then we're definitely not feeling alone. Thank you so much, Sheila. This is, I'm really intrigued about your book, and thank you so much for taking the time to be on my podcast and sharing with us about your journey and your book.
Oh, you are so welcome, Connie, and thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Okay, my friends, that was my conversation with Sheila Van Zyl. If you want to find out more about her upcoming book and read her blog, you find all the links in the show notes. And the show notes you find at conniegraf.com/podcast/91. That is conniegraf, conniegraf.com/podcast/91. Thank you for joining me today and listening all the way to the end. If you struggle with clutter in your home, office, files, or finances, please sign up for a complimentary clutter clarity chat. I would love to tell and show you how I can help. You can find the scheduling link in the show notes. Have a beautiful and amazing week, and please subscribe so you never miss an episode. See you next week. Take good care and be safe.